Welcome to the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship this Sunday morning. If you're not with us live but are listening to this on the internet or by a CD that someone has sent you, then we welcome you and we pray that God will bless you this morning. We suggest that you go to our ministry website at www.theologicalfoundations.com or www.marriagedivorce.com. There you'll find a wealth of teaching and messages and testimonies to direct and to encourage and to strengthen you. You are welcome to download, burn into CD, and distribute them to your friends and your family free of charge or obligation. My name is Stephen Wilcox, chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, and it is my privilege to bring you God's word from his word this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we really, really need your help. Without your Spirit, Lord, we understand nothing. Without you opening our eyes, we see nothing, Lord. And without you giving us your knowledge, we understand nothing. And Lord, we are blind and we are foolish. Lord, we just ask for your help and for your Spirit this morning to teach us out of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, I was reminded how mixed the message of the church has become to those inside the church and to the world. In fact, if someone or anyone listened to its various teachings and followed the majority of the church's example, they would surely die. In an age like today, when one Christian leader speaks error or heresy, the whole church worldwide suffers. There need not be fresh examples every day, although there is, for the stockpile of bad teaching and poor example and poisoned potions is as large as a mountain. This isn't the only time that this has happened. In fact, the more one reads history and studies the thoughts and actions of those before us, the more we realize the trouble that we are in as a church. As it is now, so it was in the days of the prophets of Israel, and nothing much changes. God is still God and changes not. Man is still a scoundrel, steeped and stooped in sin. The answers then are the same as the answers were in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and we need answers, and we need them desperately. Paul the Apostle said, "The world is the world, and God will take care of the world. That is not our direct concern. We cannot fix the world. We can only let God fix us. And as we are fixed, each and every one of us, so will be the church fixed. But as the church is filled with fixed Christians, it will then be able to be in the position with the help of God to help fix the world, or at least in order to reach whosoever will. The world is sick and it's dying because the church is sick and it's dying. The church is sick and dying because the people in it are spiritually sick. They are sick because the leadership is leading God's people away from God into the arms of the devil himself. Just as it is now, so it was back then." Please turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verses 13 to 17. I am going to be using today the New American Standard. I'll go ahead while you're looking it up. Quote, "This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, 'For what reason?' Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. For what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of their youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'How have we wearied him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them.' Or, 'Where is the God of justice?'" Unquote. This week, a major church leader was once again quoted for having written and published a declaration permitting remarriage adultery within his church. And because he is famous, and because he is popular, and because his name is known around the world, it is being used. It is being used as a validation for sinful choices by untold numbers of people. He offered a remedy for the Bible's condemnation of such relationships. He said, agree with God that it is a sin and God will no longer consider it to be so, and you can stay in it. That's forgiveness of sin without repentance. That is heresy. Like almost all others, he in effect holds God's moral marriage laws in contempt. As we speak, right now, this very Sunday, 40 to 60% of the people that are listening to these guys teach in their churches this morning, sitting in the pews, are living in forbidden relationships that will condemn them for eternity. And the rest of those that are not living in those relationships, but are worshiping with them, roughly half, have no particular problem with that. In fact, statistics tell us that the church is filled to the bursting point with practicing adulterers. Increasing numbers of fornicators and homosexuals themselves are now pounding to be let in the doors. This is all created and overseen by a corrupt and an obscene clergy and priesthood that are leading by example and by facilitating and by accepting sin instead of righteousness. Strong words? You bet they're strong words, but they are absolutely accurate. Jeremiah talked about the same kind of phenomenon in his day. It was as shocking then as it is now. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to read from verses 13 to 15. Here we go. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Unquote. Strong words. When you have this staggering amount of corruption in the church, it is dangerous and it is deadly to be in the same place at the same time as these people are. For what they have is contagious and corrupting souls by the hundreds of millions. And everyone that is in contact is contaminated. It isn't that the leaders don't know. It isn't that they can't know. They do know. They just don't reckon that God's moral standards in regard to the permanence of marriage is fair. So they fudge it. They indulge it. And they indulge in it, destroying all that they touch and all who hear them and all who follow them. It doesn't matter what else they say about other things of God. Everything that they do is tainted by their overwhelming sin of this age. Don't listen to them. You have your Bibles. This isn't the Dark Ages. You can go to God, you can read what he has to say, and you can talk to him because he talks back directly to you. God laid it out to the priests in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me, and he stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you have caused many to stumble by the instruction, and you have corrupted the covenant, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Brothers and sisters, this is not a matter of simple opinion. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage in the church is not the same as the minor differences that prevail among sincere, regenerated Christians that have, in the past, for the most part, divided the church into different theological camps. This isn't a run-of-the-mill common cold, but a deadly plague that has, for the most part, destroyed the church as we knew it within the past two generations. Adultery is a sin unto death. Indulged in or accommodated, it leads to eternal damnation. Jesus said so over and over again. Knowing the difference between right and wrong is critical. Doing right instead of wrong is life and death. There is a difference. They are not the same. A covenant marriage and an adulterous marriage are not the same. Please turn to Malachi 2, verse 14 and 15. And then we're going to go right on and read more. You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that you have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This need not happen. This condemnation need not take place. You can jump off the train right now. If you are in an organization that is establishing bad doctrine on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and enabling people to live in sin under a false blessing of God, you can leave. You can jump off the train. You don't have to wait to it to get to a station. Don't assume even that there will be a station up ahead. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know when God is going to say that enough is enough. You can turn back and away from the crowd. Turn and live. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to read three verses, 17, 18, and 19. Here we go. Yet your fellow citizen says, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turn from his wickedness and practice justice and righteousness, he will live by it. That blends perfectly into what John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 1-9. And I think all of us know this. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, unquote. Wait a minute. Let's read that in complete context. It isn't just confessing that's required. It's walking in what God said too. Let's go back to verse 5 and take it maybe all the way to verse 10. Here we go. This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to end with the words of Jesus himself. It is he who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And today he has the last word he can speak for himself. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read all the way from verse 13 to 29, and we'll be finished. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine does not act on them, it will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon us and upon your church. Help us to be salt and light and not to be compromised if we know the truth. Help us, Lord, to proclaim the truth fearlessly and, Lord, willing to pay whatever price of isolation is necessary, Lord, in order to preserve and to put forward the truth, Lord. Never, ever giving up. Never, ever backing down. Never compromising, Lord, but standing in truth and in love. In Jesus' name, amen.